And I'm sure that some of you have done, well, some of you have done a lot of this. But let's see how a basic event variety potential is generated. As a starting point, we have just averaged EEG activity. And we have these tags that now something happened. And we have this something happened tags happening for like 100 times. Let's say a very good example of this, that the auditory stimulation, there's something beep going on many times. And each time a beep occurs, there's a pulse saying that now there was this beep. So offline, we can take this signal, say that every time that there was a beep, give me EEG, let's say 500 milliseconds before that, and 500 milliseconds after that. And then we can average this activity, and as a result, we get something that we call event-related potential.
Can you use that to record effective reactions as well, or is it too...
Effective reactions. Well, the logic is the same no matter what you are... Well...
I thought it would be too time period is too short for any, some partials or fast affective reactions are usually a bit slow. Yeah.
So usually people don't. Well, yeah, it depends. If you are recording, let's say, like responses to faces that have a smile. That are smiling or angry faces or whatever. You can, I'm not sure about the details and facts here, but I would assume that for the first 200 milliseconds or so, just those, well maybe that's it, let's say that for the first 100 milliseconds, you can see very normal and consistent evoked responses, as you would see to every visual stimulus. But after that, there might be a component in ERP that actually reflects the meaning or the emotion that the face has. But after, of course, after that, bodily responses, they are not that fast. But this early identification process could be something that occurs even within 200 milliseconds post-stimulus. But, so the point is that if we have, this is the stimulus onset time. Then we have some activity here. I'm trying to draw this so that I'm not sure if I could do this right. But what I'm trying to explain here is that if the phase of the signal is at any given point, it's random. When you do this many times enough, the end result is close to zero. There's always some fluctuation here, but it's close to zero, the activity. But if there's something that's consistent after the stimulus, like I tried to draw here, that this goes all the time down at this stage, then you would actually see something like this. So whatever is common between these trials gets highlighted in this ERP. So usually the whatever a certain stimulus evokes in the brain activity is very small change as opposed to what happens in the brain in anyway. So in a single trial you don't see a response But you do see a response in animals if you do the intracranial recording. But in humans, just usually you just don't see that there's a tone there. You can't infer that from the brain activity alone. So you have to repeat that for tens of times and average the signal, and then you can cancel everything that's random out and highlight everything that's consistent. And that's the event-related potential. So usually the brain does something, somewhat of a sequence after something happens. There's a brain area X that activates first, then the message is conveyed to somewhere else, then something happens, then happens some top-down activation because we were expecting something. And they all are reflected in this event-related potential at the different points of time. And that's why we use those to index cognitive functions. For instance, P3 is something that is very prominent when we were paying attention to that stimulus. If we didn't pay any attention to the stimulus, we were distracted to do something else, then a stimulus wouldn't evolve that much of a P3. So we link P3 with being aware and attentive to that stimulus. Whereas some of these earlier components, they don't change as a function of top-down processing. They don't change as a function of your expectancies or awareness. So about here, we draw a line of obligatory components that happen despite of your attention or your top-down control. They are broken off, and after that, we call them cognitive components because they are affected by your own expectations, cognitive functions. These components are traditionally linked superior. So that's very basic stuff actually. So ERPs have been studied a lot. They are still being studied a lot, and they can be used as an index of something that happens. And this is the logic behind the amplitude comparisons between different conditions, between different groups. Let's say that lots of people here in Jyväskylä, they are recording ERPs to, let's say, tones, changing tones in normally reading people and dyslexics in order to infer at what stage something goes wrong. From the side of the brain, what is the thing that the brain cannot do that contributes to poor learning, poor reading skills? So this event-related potential depicts something that happens as a function of time. But there's another kind of basic analysis. It's called a frequency analysis. So we take a certain period of EEG activity, and then we do a decomposition of what frequencies are present at what magnitude. So this happens when we record from the back of the head, and the person closes his or her eyes, we see a peak in alpha band activity. So let's say that this was like a couple of seconds of EEG, and we do this, and we see that there's roughly 9 to 12 hertz activity there when the person was sitting there with his eyes closed. And this is when his hand is relaxed, we can record something to the motor cortex. This is kind of idling there too. But when we do this, we lose the temporal information. So we can only say that during this time window, this and that frequency was there. So I think we can pause now. Should we get some lunch now and maybe we continue 12:30 in, I believe it was MAA 2A. All right, thank you for your attention.
Another one should be done.